A reading from Romans, the 12th chapter. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This week we're praying, O Lord, mercifully receive the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they both perceive and know what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to fulfill the same through Jesus Christ our Lord. This collect fits really well with today's epistle, the epistle for this week, because here St. Paul echoes the book of Hebrews and also St. Peter and calls the Christian church a priesthood, that we are all priests who are serving under our high priest, Christ Jesus. Each Christian, every single one of us, is a priest. We're not single and individual and isolated as priests either, but we are serving together in a priesthood as members of a chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, the people for God's own possession. And so Paul writes today, as in one body we have many members, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Now, for what purpose has Christ brought us into his priesthood? It's to build us up as a holy priesthood, as Peter writes, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The work of a priest would be obvious to anyone in previous times in the world, at least. A priest prays, and a priest offers sacrifices. That's what this week's collect is asking, that we would be given God's open ear to our prayers, together with understanding and grace and power to do what we ought and to do it well, whatever it is. Now, it's strange in today's reading to find the word sacrifice here. First of all, why do we need any sacrifices now that Christ has made an all-sufficient sacrifice of himself by his cross? More strange, though, is what's attached to it to describe the sacrifices, living sacrifices. This is strange because all sacrifices are dead sacrifices, aren't they? This really distinguishes our priestly service in the New Testament, both from the temple of the Old Testament and from Christ's death itself. Death is part and parcel of the sacrifice. Blood has to be shed, flesh has to be burned, rites and words have to be administered. But that's Paul's point. Our whole being as Christians is being made acceptable by the one sacrifice, a deadly one, of Christ, and thus our whole being is now offered to God, not in death, but in the life that Christ Jesus gives. The Lord's Supper, for example. The Lord's Supper is never called an unbloody sacrifice in the Bible. We heard that yesterday, what Christ does call it when he institutes it. But we Christians, we could be called unbloody sacrifices, presenting our lives and our bodies to God, not for death, but for good works and holy living, including our thanksgiving. Yes, also perhaps including suffering and blood, if it should come to it, but not on any altar and not by our own hands. Now, Paul calls this sort of offering of living sacrifices spiritual worship, as our text has it, though the root of spiritual is not spirit, it's actually logos, word. It's the same thing that Peter uses when he tells us to crave the pure spiritual milk, the pure worldly milk, reasonable milk. It's sometimes translated reasonable service. And this is to connect the word and the mind to what we are doing, right? It's not simply metaphorical and ethereal sacrificing, nor is it simply an internal, private sacrifice that we're offering to God. And thus Paul speaks about the work of God's word and his spirit to transform and to renew our minds so that the Lord's will may not be kept private, but may be manifested among us in good and acceptable actions. That's our reasonable service. In this we see the uncomfortable compromise that my office as director of worship has to make, because we are about the business of the divine service and preaching and music and prayer, and yet the office is called worship. It would be better if we could refer to our church services at the beginning of Romans 12 as the mercies of God that encourage us and strengthen us and give us his great supply through the forgiveness of sins. True, we do offer some worship in our services, some living sacrifices in our confessions of him, in our praises of God, in our thanksgivings, like the hymns we sing. And of course, we always pray when we gather together, like a priest should. But Paul says here that our true worship, in the proper definition, our priestly and sacrificial service, it actually grows out of these gatherings. Mostly, though, it extends far beyond these gatherings into our lives, into our vocations, into our homes. Our whole life is a sacrifice alive to him. Now, one other translation or helpful word may assist you here, that our spiritual worship, our reasonable service is also our appropriate or our proper worship. That helps us to see why Paul goes on then to talk about the corporate nature of the Christian church, that it's a body with many members who must not be divided against each other through pride, but should serve together as one body and even be individually members of one another. Each person's service is in proportion to the faith and the function and the position and the gifts that they have received from God, Paul says. In other words, what is appropriate, proper to New Testament priests is what he's concerned about. Obviously, never to make atonements, never that we should become the saviors of the church or of one another. We are to be faithful servants and sons and heirs, not lords in this church. We are the ones who follow in the train of Christ, who's our brother and our master. He's the high priest of our order. But his word, his mercies, the nature of his New Testament shape our sacrifices as the church, as his priesthood. They shape them so that they are offered in thanksgiving and praise, and so that they are accomplished by living rather than dying. Dying to self, yes, but living together as the whole body of Christ. Living to God by love and by good works for our neighbors. And these are also then to be proper, to be appropriate services to each of us in our stations, appropriate to our place and our abilities, as the rest of the chapter will go on, and we'll hear about that next week. Above all, in our priestly service to Christ, wherever your service is, let us never become distraught or confused about what it is that makes our service and our worship and our sacrifices holy and acceptable to God. Our colleagues are always reminding us of this, if you would listen closely to them. because they always put everything through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.